Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome everyone. And I'm joined in studio by John Granato. He's a show host on KFNC Houston Morning Drive. John, welcome in. Great to have you.
I'm the gloss now, huh?
You are
I am the gloss. Yeah. Well, I've never been to gloss before.
Well, once you put that lipstick on,
I know.
You play the part well.
I do that. But I didn't want to out myself right here. But yeah, now you didn't. I can openly say I'm the gloss.
You didn't have to wear the skirt though.
Yeah, right.
You got carried away, didn't you?
The makeup and the gloss. Okay, it's all part of the act.
You got Taylor Swift lipstick on.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I was gonna say she's still like a little girl to me. So it's like it's kind of creepy looking at her. But she's a grown woman now. Remember when Michelle Wie came out? It was like, I don't really want to look at her because she's too young to be looking at, right?
I don't look at women that way.
No,
what are you talking about? I don't know what you're saying here.
Me either. Well, yeah, but you said I had Taylor Swift lipstick on. I was like, not a bad idea.
No, it looks good on her. Looks a lot better on her than it does on you. I'll tell you what, the Texans are looking a lot better.
They look real. They look different.
They look like a real football team all of a sudden.
Different, yeah.
On all fronts, all dimensions. Yeah. It's just so fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the question, which were you more surprised with, holding the Steelers to 6 points or 30 points against their defense? And it was by far the 30 points to me because the Steelers' offense, Kenny Pickett and Najee and all. I mean, honestly, it's really bad. Matt Canada is a terrible coordinator. I mean, the numbers are proving it out. He's really, really bad. So the Texans' defense stepping up about 2 weeks in a row. They did it in Jacksonville last week as well. But the Texans' offense against that defense that can come off the corners, and you have Austin Deculus, he's going to be a rookie, a seventh rounder, and George Fant, a journeyman on the other side. I didn't think there was any chance they would move the ball. And here they are putting up 30.
How did they deal with the injuries in the offensive line? What was the scheme that enabled that?
Well, first of all, they, for the most part, did a really good job of taking care of their business. Shaq Mason was awesome. Jared Patterson, who's a late round center, has just been playing fantastically. They're doing a nice job. But Bobby Slowick is first of all, CJ's getting the ball out real quick.
Yep.
Bobby Slowick is doing a nice job keeping Andrew Beck in, or Damian Pearson, or Devin Singletary in, or the tight ends in, and giving help, chipping those guys on the outside. But it's mostly CJ just doing a really good job of being on schedule. And when he's not on schedule, you see he's got really nice feet in the pocket and outside the pocket as well. He's escaping everything. The last couple of weeks, no sacks. That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, particularly behind that injured offensive line. We're talking to John Granato, morning show host on KFNC Houston. So this question came from Craig Larson, but I love the way he framed it. He said, would you rather be the Texans or the Browns? Would you rather have all the draft capital still headed your way, which is the Texans, and C.J. Stroud under center, or have Deshaun Watson on your roster with his $230 million guaranteed contract, $45 million of which was a signing bonus? I mean, who is in the better quarterback situation now?
It's a tough, tough question, but, I mean, I think obviously C.J. is the answer because of the contract. That you're not paying him right now, that you can build the team around a guy with very little money. When your quarterback is outplaying his contract, it's so, so huge in the NFL,
yep.
And he's outplaying his contract. I don't want – listen, the whole aura of Deshaun Watson, I don't want – I can't right. root for that guy, right?
Right.
When the Astros acquired the reliever, the closer that was, you know, had the domestic violence, it just felt dirty just watch. You know – I want to root for good guys. The Texans have always had good, but they've always put a premium on character.
Yep.
And, you know, D'Amico is a guy I think that is continuing that. And I just want to root for those guys. Give me C.J. Stroud. And, oh, by the way, the start is fantastic. I just, there's no downside. I'm taking C.J. in that one.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that just popped out at me watching them was Nico Collins and how he just looks the part. I mean, I love that tall, big-bodied receiver. Not so big-bodied, but tall ability to stretch up, go catch balls high up in the air. He's just growing up before our eyes.
Well, it's so funny. This was the worst wide receiver room going into the season. Doesn't look so bad now, does it?
Nope.
I mean, Nico is playing. Robert Woods has rejuvenated his career. He did nothing in Tennessee. He was nice in L.A. and then kind of fell off there, and then nothing in Tennessee. And it looked like his career was about over, and it looked like a signing. Ah, you're just getting a veteran in here. He's a captain. He's catching passes. Tank looks great. Tank looks like he's got possibilities for rookie of the year. The wide receiver, Meshi, has got a couple of catches now and is back. The wide receiver room doesn't look so bad anymore. You know why? Because they got a quarterback that can get them the ball. So it's just amazing, amazing how everything just is different, how much better everything is.
Love seeing it for the Texans. Okay, before we leave the Texans, one last thought. Yesterday, J.J. Watt put into the Ring of Honor. They retired his jersey. What does J.J. Watt mean to this city and the legacy of the Texans?
Well, he's on the Mount Rushmore, that's for sure. I mean, Akeem Olajuwon, there's always the question of who's the greatest Texan. Is it Andre Johnson or is it J.J.? For my money, it's J.J.
Yeah.
J.J., Defensive Player of the Year, the three times, how dominant he was, what he did for this. Not that Andre hasn't done a bunch of stuff for the city, but J.J. Watt has been the embodiment of just greatness and a character and hard, all of the things. See, I mean, he loves the camera, but oh well. You know, that's fine. I was there. It was a really good atmosphere. Even the Steelers fans, listen, it was a road game for the Texans yesterday. The Steelers fans were there in full force. It was so loud when they had the ball, when the Texans had the ball in a big situation. But everybody in that place really respects, and that's something when your opponents respect you like they did. They did a bunch of video posts during timeouts of people telling JJ how great he was and what he meant to them and all of this stuff. He's awesome. He is really awesome. Good for him. I hope he's forever on television and giving his opinions known, because he's a really, really good guy, and I'm glad that he's got all this success.
Is J.J. Watt a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yes.
Will he get in ahead of Andre Johnson, who's had more years to
– Yes. Andre's got, the wide receiver. First of all, it's an offensive league, and Andre's numbers in a lot of instances, especially touchdowns, don't stand up. I think Andre does get in, but it's going to take a little while for Andre to get in. It's going to have to be a down year for people that are, although the NFL does put 6-7 guys in at a time. So, but JJ is without a doubt a first ballot Hall of Famer. His fame, Andre didn't have the personality. Andre didn't have the charisma, and JJ's got all of that. And all of this time now, he's going to be out there. He's going to be on television. He's going to be doing pregame, postgame shows and all of this stuff. And the writers are going to love him. Andre doesn't do any of that
stuff. That's right. And Andre, in his defense, during his career, he did not have an elite quarterback ever throwing him the football.
No, he didn't. No. But Andre also was, I've interviewed him 100 times. He
personality
was just,
matters.
It was just pulling teeth to get him to say anything that you could use. And that's, it's a shame that's got a bet on the resume and that's going to play a part. But his lack of personality really is, I think, going to play and is playing into him not getting in yet.
We're down to John Granato. He's a morning show host on KFNC Houston. Want to ask you about one other football team here in town, the University of Houston Cougars. I know you've got a long relationship with Dan Holgorsen. They had a tough loss to Texas Tech yesterday in Lubbock. Is Dana at risk of losing his job? Is he going to be back next year?
I think he's got to. They've got to be better. Yes, I don't think there's any question that there are a lot of people that are. He's got a lot of money that they're going to have to pay him. And University of Houston usually doesn't do that. But listen, I know him well. He lives around the corner from me. We talk a lot, and he's worked his tail off. Moving into the Big 12 is a different deal. Last year was a killer because they should have been better in the American. After the 12-win season 2 years ago, last year was a real tough season. Didn't understand it at all because he still had Clayton Tune, he had Tank Dell, but But the defense really let him down. I mean, Belk is a really good defensive coordinator, or was, but for the last year plus now, it has just been so bad.
Hmm.
And they've got some defensive talent. It's just, I don't know. I can't explain it. The special teams let him down against Texas Tech. The defense let him down against against Texas Tech. And they're better than this. They really are better than this. And whether I think, yeah, Dana's job is on the line. There's no question
about
that.
Well, that's the nature of the business.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Got to win.
Yeah.
I mean, when he was hired,
there was Sumlin and there was
Then there was Tony
Major Applewhite.
Major Applewhite.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they fired Major. I knew I was getting Tony Levine, and then Major took over. They said, "Well, you get fired when you win 8 games here." Well, Dana's got to win 8 games. You got to win 9 games, and they're not on that route. So he's got to be better than they've got to be better than they are. And I know they're back to work right now. I called him, as a matter of fact, yesterday, and just went right to voicemail. Oh well, he's not talking.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of focus and energy in that room right now. I've got about a minute before we got to go to break, but Aggies hosting Alabama, what should we look for there?
Well, the Aggie defense is playing pretty darn well.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a nice job against – a real nice job against Arkansas. They did a great job against Auburn, seeing what Auburn did against Georgia the following week. So the defense is playing well, and maybe Max Johnson is the answer. I don't know. Maybe Max Johnson seems to be playing pretty well. He certainly came in and has done a nice job. I like him in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama is not you bottle up Milroe and you're going to have a time. This is not the same Alabama team. They're still good. The reports of their demise are premature, but the Aggies can beat them. The Aggies have enough talent on that field, and they certainly should play them tough, if nothing else.
He's John Granato on KFNC Radio in Houston. When we come back, I want to ask you about MLB playoffs and the Astros' place in defending their championship. That up next year when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back. 800-814-5615. 800-814-5615. That's 800-814-5615. 800-814-5615.
Wake up call.
John Rahm. He wishes that there would be porta potties at each of the holes.
Why aren't there? Let's just have a frank conversation about this. When you really have to go to the bathroom and there's no bathroom and the body goes, "We're going without you."
We look at those trees and go, restroom.
Exactly, restroom. Like a dog to a fire hydrant.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Weekdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
Imagine learning about radio and being mentored by true radio professionals in real radio stations. Well, actually, you don't have to imagine, because there's Radio Connection. Radio Connection gives you the opportunity to learn one-on-one and be mentored by radio pros. Plus, you don't have to worry about getting into a crazy amount of debt with school tuition either. Radio Connection keeps their tuition at much lower costs. To find out more info, visit radioconnection.com.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and I am in studio with John Granato. He is a morning show host on KFNC Houston. And let's start with the MLB playoffs. We sit here in Houston, Astros, the defending champions, but they've had a rugged last month, and they left it sort of up to the last minute where they would land in the playoffs, but they do win their division and they get a rest. What holds you back from feeling positive about the Astros? What's your biggest concern about the Astros here in the postseason?
Well, the pitching has been, it's not even close to what it was last year. It's over a run more a game from the starters, and the relievers were bad. Now, there's been a big turnaround, the pitching in the last, now I don't know, the Diamondbacks are all that good, but they also pitched really well against the Mariners. So that was really good. You know, the bullpen has been great in September, the best bullpen in baseball. That's a really good sign, which is what won them the World Series last year. So they weren't the Astros that we're used to this year. They just weren't. But, you know, in Dusty's defense, I heard Nate Griffin on with you before this, and he, you know, what a great job that Dusty did. Dusty's caught a lot of grief in the city this season.
Oh, my goodness. It seems every week somebody's upset with some lineup that he set. He's certainly been a topic of controversy.
Yeah. You know, I think people have their favorites. You know, Chaz McCormick didn't get nearly a number of at-bats, even major MLB TV was talking about it. Yiner Diaz is 300-some at-bats when he's fourth on the team in homers. I mean, it's just a lot of people are frustrated because Martin Maldonado is just not a good hitter and, you know, the offensive thing. But Dusty loves him. You know, the pitchers love to throw to him. He does have a lot of pass balls, but there are so many things that have been, you know, been irked the fans and frustrated the fans. But let's face it, it's not going to be easy. And Altuve was hurt. Alvarez was hurt. Brantley's been hurt most of the season. You got the bullpen that was terrible for a while. Your starting pitching wasn't nearly as good. We're used to the Astros winning the division by 10, 15 games, and it just didn't happen this year. But they gutted it out. And this last week of the season was fantastic. Just great baseball. So, no, Dusty deserves... He deserves his run here. He deserves the accolades. It's tough in this city because of how many people were frustrated this year with him. But
all of a sudden, Houston sports fans are spoiled when it comes to the Astros.
Oh, my goodness. We're so spoiled by them. You know, if they don't win every game. Now, that said, they should. I don't care what lineup Dusty put out there. They should have been beating the A's, and they should have been beating the Royals.
Right.
It should have never come down to the last game of the season.
Right.
When you win two out of 9 games against those teams, it's terrible. So, you know, they put themselves in that spot, but they got themselves out of that spot.
Okay, let's just lift ourselves up out of Houston for a minute, and we look at all the teams that are here in the postseason. If you, John Granato, could parachute in as a manager of one of those teams with a shot to win the World Series, which team would you parachute in and take over and run as your best bet?
Oh, the Braves.
The Braves,
for
sure.
The Braves are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the offense and the pitching and everything about them. I had the Braves and the Astros, despite all those money that the Mets spent. I was like, no, this is a Braves year.
Yeah.
I'd have the Braves and the Astros, and I had it before the season started in the World Series, and I just think they're so good. Now, they're so talented and so young, and they've done such a great job signing their players. The big deals, they're doing a fantastic job. They're the team to beat. I don't think there's any question about that. I think the Dodgers are going to have a tough time. The National League is going to be really a lot tougher than the American League. The Astros, I feel like they couldn't have a better draw with Toronto or Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Baltimore, who they took care of there. They lost here, but that was when they were really struggling at home. Hopefully that home stuff is over. you know, because they're really bad at home.
But Baltimore could win this series against the Astros. I mean, they're a pretty credible team this year.
Oh, no, 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 no. They remind me of the 2017 Astros. They really do. Yeah. A young team that's hungry, plays together. They've got pitching. They've got young hitters that are clutch. I was really impressed with them in that series here. I went to one of those games, and they're a really, really good team. So, no, Baltimore is not going to be easy. I don't think there's any – I'd rather go through them than have to go through the Dodgers or through the Braves. The Astros have of the top teams, and it shows they're the American League favorite.
Right,
they're 5-4 to 1 right now, or 5-1 right now, and the Baltimore is 6-1 to win the World Series actually. So the Braves are number one, Dodgers are two, Astros three, and Baltimore four. So I mean, Vegas knows what it's doing. The Astros are good enough and have the experience. Whether or not the Orioles are ready to win yet, that's the question.
We're talking to John Granato, radio show host on KFNC Houston. So I want to shift gears, go to the NFL, and bring up a topic that has been a sore spot between us for a long time, my beloved Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. You're not such a big fan.
No, well, let's go back to that Cardinal game. Let's not talk about yesterday. Let's go back. What are you doing? What exactly are you doing? Letting them run for 300 yards on you. They've got they're supposed to be the worst team in the league, and look at what they do. That's the issue. Now it's going to be a big week for them.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
49ers this week, Sunday night football.
We'll find out, you know, if they're ready, because you know, you can take care of, you know, they have played a fairly easy schedule. You're going to find out whether or not, you know, you're with those guys at the top. I don't trust Dak. I just don't.
Well, defensively, I have more confidence that they'll figure out how to stop the run. And, you know, Belichick was planning on running the ball all day long. They would have loved to have run the ball, but Cowboys got him in a hole early. Mm-hmm. But, no, Dak does give me concern. And it's amazing to me how the narrative on Dak shifted just in the last 3 to 4 years. Remember when the Cowboys had not signed Dak? Everyone was yelling. There were howls in the street that the Cowboys needed to sign Dak to his big deal. They did. But Dak just hasn't played at an elite level. The guy's 30 years old now. He's been in the league for a long time. It's not like we're still waiting to see what he's going to become. I think we've seen who Dak Prescott is.
Yeah, and he throws in a stinker, and he throws one in at just the worst time.
Yeah.
I mean, that pass in the end zone against the Cardinals, when, you know, you're trying to – you know, you're going to have off days against lesser opponents, but you got to over – when you got your C game, you still got to win football games. And he's not making winning plays in those situations.
Well, you look at, say, the Eagles, and, well, most good teams will have those games where they struggle, but they often find a way to win, and we have not seen that from the Cowboys. And you're right, their schedule to date has not been very difficult. Next week's the real test. 49ers look really, really good. Is Brock Purdy as good as he looks?
Well, here's the deal, and I didn't mention this with the Texans, Bobby Slowick. And Kyle Shanahan's the best coach in football right now. Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid, best coaches in football right now. His offense is perfect for a guy that can get accurate, that can just get the ball, guys, because they're doing so much stuff that we don't see, the motion stuff and everything else. Guys, and let's face it, they got really good guys, Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he got so many weapons, but it's Kyle Shanahan that's putting them all in position to do great things, and that's the guy. And so Bobby Slowick doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good. Jimmy Garoppolo got him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. It's about Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Slowick here in Houston.
You mean Brock Purdy?
It's about Kyle Shanahan getting Brock Purdy.
Oh, just as So Slowick has done so much. So go back to that. But, I mean, with Brock Purdy, the dynamic to me was, well, I've been thinking that there must be some Achilles heel, some weakness. He doesn't throw a certain type of pass well, and defenses are going to figure that out, and they're going to close off what he does well and force him to make the kind of throw he doesn't do well. But we're now 12 games in where he wins when he starts. I mean, this guy does not lose. Remember, Jimmy never lose, Jimmy Garoppolo for a while? Yeah. Well, then Brock Purdy is the new Brock never lose.
Well, what's the common denominator? Kyle Shanahan.
There it is.
Kyle Shanahan doesn't lose. Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. Brock Purdy just has to manage the game, get it to the guys. But now he makes winning plays too. Listen, Mr. Irrelevant, he was really, really good at Iowa State at times, and then there was a lot of stuff, whether or not he had the arm strength, whether or not he had the head for it. I mean, he got knocked around, but he made Iowa State a good football team. He's good enough. You don't have to have Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowls. You have to be great defensively the way that they are. And Nick Bosa coming off the edge is frightening for everybody. And then you have to have a Christian McCaffrey, if he can stay healthy, with Debo and Ayuk and all Mitchell and all of those weapons they got, they can win it all.
It'll be fun to watch. They really are an electric team. And McCaffrey was such a great addition to that offense. It's just been amazing to see. Right now, the other class in the NFC, of course, the Eagles, they got a tough win yesterday over the Commanders. They've got a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. They haven't played their best. They lost both of their coordinators, offensive and defensive coordinators. That's got to be a factor in their slow start.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. Look at what Gannon is doing right now. I mean, in Arizona, they are so much better than everybody thought. That's good coaching. Shane Steichen, they should be 3-1 right now. Mm. They almost pulled it off. They lost that game yesterday to the Rams late. They missed Steichen. He put Hurts in the right situations all the time. And it's so underestimated what that means to these players. And I keep going back to Bobby Slowick here in the city of Houston.
You bet.
I'm worried already that he's going to get scooped up as a head coach.
Yeah, someone will want him.
And we're going to have to start over again because you lose your coordinator with a young quarterback. And look at Jalen Hurts; doesn't look like the same guy.
Hey, John Granato, KFNC host. John, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you. Appreciate it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. 800-905-7124 now. I'm here with spokesman for the firm, John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call in.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here with you. We always enjoy answering the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Call 800-905-7124.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now to speak with a live agent for free. Call 800-905-7124.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
The diehards.
And then all of a sudden, a sweeper pitch comes. She goes, "What's a sweeper?" And I looked at her and I went, "I don't know. Hey, Siri, what's a sweeper pitch?" What is going on? I felt like I was lost. And I'm like, I cover sports. I know this. And again, I'm a knucklehead fan on the radio, but I'm like, what is this? And then I'm seeing slurve. And I'm going, what? Am I gone?
The diehards. Weeknights from 8 to 10 Eastern on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Just Saying It with Cole Thompson.
Is it possible that Bill Belichick truly is on the hot seat this year? And it's not that I think that right now we can say absolutely, no questions asked, he loses, he struggles, the team ends up faltering and falling apart, they're immediately going to fire him. But here's the thing that I will say. I want you to go ahead and say your coach was fired on the spot right here and right now, and you had an opportunity to bring in a head coach. Would you pick Bill Belichick? I would guess about 95% of people would say, I do not want Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has made countless errors on end to where right now he is a liability if you add him to your team. It's not that I think that Bill Belichick right now is facing pressure to win this year. It's about the value of what he brings to the team and what he brings internally to a locker room.
Just Saying It. Weekdays from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m.
First Name Sports with Greg Frank.
It is the last day that Daniel Snyder owns the Washington Commanders, one of the worst owners in professional sports. With the amount of crazy things that have happened in that organization off the field and the lackluster product on the field, it all comes from the same toxic root of this guy's ownership. So congratulations, Washington Commander fans. It's only up from here.
First Name Sports, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 Eastern. First Name Sports with Greg Frank.
So Cardi B threw a microphone at a fan last week, and the microphone sold for nearly $100,000 on eBay.
You know, I've talked about before how I'm not really into sports memorabilia collecting, because when you think about how much it costs to obtain some of the real authentic merchandise, and then what you do with it, which is essentially nothing, like it just sits in a room where you have a bunch of collectibles. And that's on sports stuff, where at least you could, you know, I could be like, oh, Michael Jordan's shoes from the game against the Jazz, where in 1998 he made the shot over Byron Russell. I don't see any appeal behind a collectible microphone, much less one that's $100,000. You're talking about what you're going to do with $1.5 billion? I'll tell you what, if I had $100,000, I'm damn sure not spending it on a microphone.
First Name Sports, weekday afternoons from 1 to 4 Eastern.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. It is David Gao, the boss, sitting next to the Bubba, Craig Larson, and we got Sean Mapes behind the glass. And one of the things we've been dying to get to is the debacle of the Patriots yesterday. I mean, they were crushed by the Cowboys, and even Jerry Jones said after the game, to see Bill Belichick lose by that kind of margin, he said it was sort of surreal. And it was, to see Belichick on the sideline or lost that one-sided. And it raises questions about the state of the Patriots. I mean, honestly, when I look at that team and I look at Mac Jones, here he is in his third season, and he doesn't seem to have a rhythm, a plan, a direction. And I don't know if the fault lies with Belichick or his new offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, or just Mac Jones. But this team looks like a team in disarray without a lot of offensive weapons. It's not just Mac Jones. They don't have any speed on that team. It's a real struggle right now, raising questions about the patience of Robert Kraft. Is he satisfied? This has been a break-even team since the departure of Tom Brady.
Listen, the only highlight for their entire franchise this year was the opener when Tom Brady went running out there.
Yeah.
And that, of course, rekindled all the feelings of all the championships and all the banners and all the accolades. And now you're sitting here, and boy, it doesn't feel like Tom Brady was just a few short years ago in New England.
No.
It feels like an eternity here.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a different, weird. Like Jerry Jones said, I think he put it very well.
Where it is.
It is surreal to see a Bill Belichick coach team, for especially someone my age who I've only ever seen Tom Brady win championships with the New England Patriots. I do not remember a world before Tom Brady. To see just that logo and those uniforms lose by 5 touchdowns, it is crazy, and I think it is the lack of weapons that they have. Now, some of it is Mac Jones not being the guy that can elevate a team without weapons,
yep.
But a lot of it's also that look at the guys he's throwing to and who's taking the ball. I mean, I like Ramondre Stevenson. We mentioned beforehand, Zeke Elliott, not quite what he used to be and also not quite what this team needs. That to me is the greatest failing of Belichick in this, you know, since Brady left era.
You're critiquing Belichick, the GM, more than Belichick, the coach right now.
Because their defenses are all still really good. They still have good players. They still coach them up really well. It's just the offense, they cannot either draft the offense well or get a coach in there that can coach them well.
Well, you mentioned Jerry Jones. You just wonder, of course, they all have owner meetings. You just wonder if Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft at any point in time have compared notes. Of course, Jerry Jones had to fire a legend in Tom Landry.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, because that day is going to come, maybe sooner rather than later, and you have to wonder what's going through Bob Kraft's mind and if there's any scenario. I mean, how bad could it possibly get? I mean, they are a distant third, any way you slice it. And that's not going to change overnight. Josh Allen's going to be Josh Allen in that division. And as long as Tua stays healthy, the Dolphins, independent of yesterday, listen, they're the number two team in all likelihood and probability in that division.
So here sit the Patriots. They have been basically a 500 team since the departure of Brady. If they go with 7 wins this year, and I don't think they're going to get over 7. Is that enough to make Robert Kraft decide it's time for a new direction with that team that he needs to move on from Bill Belichick. I mean, 7 wins would be very disappointing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, and you mentioned this with John Granato in the previous segment, I disagree with him a little bit about the state of Alabama. I wouldn't say they're in a sharp decline, but it's a different Alabama team, and there are similarities here between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. These are two individuals that have dominated their respective programs the last two decades, if you will. Each of them, of course, have ties together. Nick Saban was part of Belichick's coaching staff in Cleveland in the mid-90s, and they are each at the end of their amazing Hall of Fame careers. At some point in time, you are going to have to pull the trigger if you're Bob Kraft. And you just wonder what the circumstances or scenarios are, and you wonder what the appetites are. I mean, you spend a lot of time in Boston. That is a diehard. Even with the Celtics being a title contender, and even with some of the recent success that the Red Sox have had in the last decade or so in the postseason, when those things aren't happening to cover up a porous football team, it gets even more ramped up and more exposed. And right now, the Red Sox aren't in the postseason, and the Patriots aren't going anywhere fast.
Well, it is intriguing. It was, as Jerry Jones said, surreal to see the Patriots lose by so much yesterday, but it would be even more surreal to see Bill Belichick coaching another team. Because if you play this out and Belichick does depart New England after, say, 6 or 7 wins this year, someone will definitely scoop him up. And I definitely think Belichick wants to continue to coach. He's only about 29 wins away from the record of the most wins by any coach in NFL history. Of course, that's held by Don Shula. And if Bill Belichick, I mean, look, it used to be to get to around 30 wins, it would take him 3 seasons. But the pace he's going now, it's a lot longer to go. He's 71 years old. Could he land with the Bears, for instance, next year? Or some other team that will be looking for a head coach, maybe the Chargers next year? It would be wild to see him on the sidelines in another outfit.
It really would. And if anybody tells you between now and then that that record does not matter to Bill Belichick, they're just lying. I mean, yeah. Bill Belichick at his core is a historian of the game. Anytime the NFL has an annual list or the 100-year anniversary, the individual on the committee selecting the top 100 players, the top 10 all-time franchises or teams, Bill Belichick has always had a front seat at that table. He is an avid fan of football and a historian of the game.
Yeah, it's not often that you get the coach version of Emmitt Smith playing for the Arizona Cardinals, mm-hmm. or for Joe Montana playing with the Chiefs back in the day. But that's really what it would look like if you see Bill Belichick in a cutoff hoodie anywhere else in the NFL. It is so hard to imagine both things. It's hard to imagine him on a different sideline that is not New England. It would also be hard to imagine that he does not coach again if he is 20 wins short of the record. Like those two seem you know, in conflict.
They seem countervailing, but something's got to give.
Something's got to give, and I do think that some owner is going to be like, this is Bill freaking Belichick. I'm going to hand over whatever he wants. I'm going to hand over my franchise. He can be the GM, coach, whatever he wants. He can bring his son too. I don't care. Someone is going to do that.
You need a franchise quarterback. Andy Reid learned that. I mean, think about where Andy Reid was prior to Pat Mahomes.
Noted.
Need a franchise quarterback.
He'd been let go by the Eagles and then resurrected again with the Chiefs.
And now he is a Hall of Fame coach. They might win at least one more. I don't know about Taylor Mania. They might be destined to win even more than that.
Do you think that helps or hurts the Chiefs' chances, Taylor Swift, at every game?
Well, I think it has raised their profile, obviously. I mean, I saw a stat, and I don't know if this is real or otherwise, but Travis Kelce has added like 800,000 followers on Instagram or something. I mean, he was a pretty big deal.
Craig, you should have had a few dates with Taylor Swift. That would have been great for our entire network here.
Yeah, that would have been something.
It actually probably would have been Sean with that long, flowing hair. Yeah. He could have turned her head very fast.
I mean, I'm just wondering, is she going to go to every – I mean, we lived through this, right? Randall Cunningham did us a favor back in the day because he just had a side thing that the National Enquirer took photos of out on a boat with Whitney Houston. We David and I lived through this about 15 years ago with Jessica Simpson up in the box dating Tony Romo. And it was, I mean, we survived it. We had a lot going on then. We had to juggle T.O. and all those theatrics, and then we had Jessica Simpson. I don't know if – is Taylor Swift really going to every game from here on out?
I think she's busy enough. Surely she has
Doesn't she have a tour going on? She's got the new movie out.
There'll be something. I don't think she's making every trip.
Every Sunday free coming up, and there's Monday nights and Thursday nights and everything else.
I think the real test, the Kansas City Chiefs will go to Minnesota next week. That is the real test. Does Taylor Swift go to Minnesota in October?
Who would go to Minnesota? I mean, is that what you're saying? I agree, by the way.
But
Minnesota in October, that's a lot better than February or January, right?
That is 100% true. It's just, it's been a home game in New York so far. So we don't know where the actual bar is on, will she go to, you know, if they play Arizona, if they play Indianapolis, is she going to go to St. Elmo's in Indianapolis if the Chiefs go there with her famous friends? I don't think so. I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't think so.
It is just unbelievable. If you write a recap of the first month of the season, you cannot write the storylines or the recap of the first month of this season without Taylor Swift being major headlines.
No
question. Crazy.
All right, when we come back, setting Taylor Swift aside, we're going to look at the biggest surprises thus far through four games here in the NFL. That up next year on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Want to learn the secret to becoming a published author in a few easy steps? Here's all it takes with help from Dorrance Publishing. For over 100 years, we've assisted individuals like you to fulfill their dreams of becoming a published author. When you call right now, you'll be assigned your own personal consultant who will help you through the entire book publishing and design process. Then, your book goes into production. It gets promoted, distributed, and finally, made available where books are sold. If you've got a book idea, call Dorrance Publishing right now for a free consultation. We'll help get your great idea out of your head, on paper, printed, and sold. It's a free, easy call. We're trusted by thousands of book authors just like you. So don't wait another day. Call now.
800-847-1362. That's 800-847-1362. 800-487-1362. 1-3-6-2.
Wake up call.
Hefty Lefty on Twitter. Easton Stick is the most perfectly named hockey player that angered sports gods by picking football. That's a great point.
That's true.
Easton Stick. That's a hockey player who chose to play football. Who is Easton Stick that he's a calf injury away from being the starter of the Chargers?
That would be like if a kid named Rawling Glove decided to pick up a basketball. Right.
Exactly. Wake up call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Weekdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
The Diehards.
I got a picture with Rick Pitino. I don't even know if I have it up here in my wall of fame here in the studio. Not in this studio. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. Rick Pitino is running one of the greatest NBA franchises ever to rebuild them in the glory days. You know, Joe Bird was on his way out, bad back and all, and Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, Robert Parrish's not walking through that door, and you're like, oh my God, Rick Pitino's going to do this. And what's his first move? He fires Red Auerbach. Like, are you freaking crapping me? I almost said the bad word right there. Like, seriously, dude? You have the stones to fire Red Auerbach? Like, the best that ever did it? Are you kidding me? But anyway, I digress. Rick Pitino's a clown. You know the emoji? Think about it. Look, picture in your brain, Diehard Nation. That emoji, the clown? Rick Pitino.
The Diehards. Weeknights from 8 to 10 Eastern on the Sports Map Radio Network.
VSiN's NFL Betting Guide is now available with in-depth betting previews and analysis. There's also team breakdowns, trends, and line estimates for every single game this season. Download your free NFL Betting Guide now at sportsmapradio.com. That's sportsmapradio.com. Bet smarter this fall with a free betting guide from VSiN at sportsmapradio.com. That's sportsmapradio.com.
sportsmapradio.com.
Wake up call!
Jerry Jones loves himself some Jerry Jones.
Of course he does. Yeah.
Just picture like a little meeting room, a small little meeting room, probably seats maybe 20, 25 people. And as part of the tour, you can go there. You sit down in a seat. A hologram of Jerry Jones appears right before you. You can ask Jerry questions. And through AI, Jerry will answer them.
What he did was he went, hey, guys, listen, I'm not going to be around forever. They got an eternal flame for Al Davis. Now, I'm not going to copy Al Davis, what they did for him, but what could we do for me? And then they threw out some ideas, and then guy goes, you know, create a hologram AI. He's like, wait a minute, hold on 1 second. AI meaning I can answer questions for all of eternity? That's right. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Jerry Jones, man.
Yeah, one of a kind.
Wake up call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Weekdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. A Monday night football kind of night, and it will be the Seahawks and the Giants squaring off. Looking forward to that game starting shortly. But before we look at that, we're through four games in the NFL season. Wanted to get yours and Sean's take, Craig and Sean, your takes on the biggest surprise this season, a team that has either outperformed or underperformed what you thought would be the case coming into the year. I'm going to begin with you, Craig. When you look at the big surprise thus far for you, what stands out?
Well, for me, a month ago, I really was buying the hype on the Chicago Bears. I never in a million years thought that they would lose that lead yesterday to Denver or be sitting here at 0-4. It was just my feeling with Aaron Rodgers finally out of that division, the Vikings releasing Dalvin Cook, that some of the marquee players that have dominated and controlled that central or north division, rather, that this would be the Bears' time, Justin Fields in his third year, that this was the time they got some playmakers now around them. They got DJ Moore, who's an elite number one receiver, that this would be their time to actually start accumulating wins and ascending. Watching that contest yesterday, when you're up by 7 in the fourth quarter and have the ball and are driving with 7 minutes left, that play call, 4th and 1 at their 17-yard line, and to come up short, I mean, I've never really seen the play calling and some of the decision-making. We saw this a few weeks ago in Tampa where Justin Fields made that terrible pick on a screen pass attempt to the Buccaneers. Bucks, they were only down by 3 in that. They were up yesterday until Justin Fields made a mistake. So for me, it's a combination of the Bears, of course, disappointing. And listen, they have real issues. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase was critical in Cincinnati. I don't think anybody expected Cincinnati to be sitting here at 1-3, but they cannot protect Joe Burrow. It's not so much if Ja'Marr Chase is sitting here and wondering why he's not getting the ball down the field, Burrow has no time to throw it.
Yeah, it's not Joe Burrow's fault. Going back to the Bears, one thing about them, here they sit at 0-4. It's so interesting, of course. They had the number one overall pick in the draft last year. They traded back. They got all kinds of draft capital as the Panthers traded up to get Bryce Young. So coming into this draft, if the season were to end right now, Bears would have the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick, their own and the Panthers. So they may have a chance to right the ship pretty quickly in this offseason, and presumably they'll be looking for another quarterback.
I feel bad for Amazon. It's not often that I go out there, and I'm not a huge Amazon consumer, but the Amazon Prime game this week features the Chicago Bears. So if their stock plummets this week, you can put that on Justin Fields and the Bears as well.
Okay, yeah. Sean Mapes, give us your biggest surprise thus far through four games in the NFL season.
My biggest surprise, I'm going to go positive. And I'm not even 100% sure I believe that if we do this 4 weeks from now that they'll still be the team that's most surprising to me. But I got to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, mm-hmm. led by Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
A team that we thought would be down there with the dregs of the league, with where Chicago is right now. They went in and they beat up Chicago. They go in, they beat up New Orleans this week. Their only loss is to an Eagles team that just played in the Super Bowl. And in this wide-open NFC South where – yeah, you're not exactly loving what you're seeing out of New Orleans. You're not really loving what you see out of Carolina or Atlanta. it looks like they have a pretty flat track to get the AFC South or the NFC South title here. And this is something where a month ago, I would not have expected that whatsoever. There would have been the third team, maybe even the fourth team I expected to win that division that they're in. And they look like a good team. Baker Mayfield amazingly looks like a quality starting quarterback who is at the very least just getting the ball to his playmakers and not losing games. That is, again, the definition of surprising to me, that Baker Mayfield's not trying to do too much. I got to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This team, I'm not even sure if they're good. They just have a great record, and they're probably going to win their division.
Well, they have a lot of the same players from their championship team 2 years prior. Obviously, one big name is missing, and he was number 12, Tom Brady. And so what do? They went out and replaced Tom Brady with a former number one overall pick, but a guy who's on his fourth team for a reason. He hasn't played well consistently. So, yeah, they're a good surprise, no question.
They're a good surprise. And listen, I think some other teams that are fulfilling or exceeding expectations – the Detroit Lions in the first month of this season have road wins at Arrowhead and Lambeau.
Right.
Two of the toughest venues, of course, to play in, let alone walk away victorious in. And then the Commanders. I mean, Carla Dawson, who we're sitting in for tonight, referenced this a few weeks ago with Joe Theismann. The Commanders, that coaching staff, and the reason they were in that game yesterday against the Eagles, when you have Jack Del Rio and Eric Bieniemy and Ron Rivera and all of that brain trust on the sidelines, they're going to be in games all throughout the season, and it would not surprise me if they fulfill and land in one of the wild card spots.
Commanders now sitting 2-2. They nearly upset the Eagles yesterday. In fact, it was interesting, you talk about the coaching. There was a real wave of criticism that came after Ron Rivera for when the Commanders scored at the end of regulation. He kicked the extra point, and it went into overtime, and they ultimately lost to the Eagles. But there was a lot of second-guessing that he should have gone for the two-point conversion and tried to get the win right there. One play, you are the underdog. You have a chance to win it at that moment with 2 yards. He stood 2 yards away from victory. And yet, Riverboat Ron, as he was once called, chose not to gamble. Did that surprise you guys?
Decided to fold on that hand.
That's right. He folded Riverboat Ron.
I don't know if I'm surprised, but I definitely disagree with the decision. Like, you laid it out perfectly. They're 9.5-point underdogs that game. They tie it at the buzzer, basically, or they get within 1 point with zeros on the clock. Yeah, you got to go for it. Because, look, they kicked the field goal. They played overtime, and they still lost the game. That conservatism did not buy them anything. They got stopped their first drive of overtime, like you said. 2 yards away from a touchdown. They definitely are two yards away from a win. They definitely have a red zone play, a 2-point conversion play that they've been practicing, that Eric Bieniemy, who has been doing a great job with that unit, has, that they have to feel good about. I think it's a really big mistake not to just go for it there, Riverboat Ron style. And yeah, again, they were never closer to winning that game than they were with the possibility of a 2-point conversion.
What do you do, though, if you're sitting here after a month and you're sitting in Carolina and you're sitting there at 0-4 with no end in sight, or in Chicago, or some of these teams that are, I mean, how do you even resurrect anything here going forward?
Especially Carolina. They don't even have their own draft pick. The Bears have both of them, so they can't even, like, right, think about, like, well, you know, at least we can get some new talent. Nope, this is what you're stuck with.
No, I think for Carolina this year, it's about developing Bryce Young. Hopefully by the end of the season, they can say, we now feel confident based on what we've seen that this is our future, that we got our franchise quarterback. We paid a big price to move up to the number one spot overall, but we got him, and he validated our trust in him. Now, through 4 games, we haven't seen enough of Bryce Young to really have an opinion, but you'd love to think that they'll give him enough time. They'll give him some exposure. They'll give him running some plays. They'll get him in a rhythm. They'll get him with his legs underneath him, so to speak, where he can actually play at a level where there's real confidence. And that would be the best outcome, I think, for the Panthers this season.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, some of these divisions, I mean, we're 1 month in, of course, but some of these divisions are just wide open. I mean, you saw the rash of injuries yesterday in the AFC North. Here in our own backyard, of course, Kenny Pickett went out. you got T. Higgins, who didn't play in the second half for Cincinnati with a rib injury. Myles Garrett has a foot injury. Deshaun thought he could go for Cleveland. They held him out. Maybe he returns with the bum shoulder. But there's a lot of divisions that are completely up in the air. And it will just be interesting to see here how things – I think the most impressive of all of the wins yesterday was actually, aside from what Dallas did, I thought that was more self-destruction and self-inflicted wounds from New England. I really liked what Buffalo did. I think they're going to be a tough out, similar to what Sean was saying about some of the upcoming matchups. You look at some of these teams that Buffalo has remaining at home. One of those games, of course, is against the Jets. They have some nice winnable games, and it's going to be really tough to slow them down. I think that Josh Allen really took that as a front, the opening game and that opening loss to the season. He looks more fired up, and they jump on them fast. And, of course, football is a game of emotion. We witnessed that. J.J. Watt had the crowd whipped into a frenzy here prior to kickoff. It's the same deal in Buffalo with Hamlin returning. That was a huge deal, and the crowd and the team fed off that injury with Hamlin finally returning to the sidelines after last year.
All right, we have covered a lot of ground here in the last couple of hours. This show called The Boss and the Gloss turned into The Boss and the Bubba with Sean. A whole other wrinkle to it. It took a village to replace Carla, and it was fantastic. Thanks to John Granato and, of course, Snake Griffin for being with us. And appreciate all of our listeners who are with us. You've been listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. First time you did something for the first time.